Yeah, the concept of marriage and divorce are universal concepts, not only Jewish. So from a halacha perspective, how do those apply to the non-Jewish world? So you're looking, Yerushalmi, the Union Kedushin deals with this. Seems pretty clear that it's very different than the Jewish version of marriage. Goyim don't have Kiddushin. Rather, it's just created through an act of Bia. And there's even 2 days in Yerushalmi, whether it's created for an act of Bia with Kavana, or even Bia without any Kavana creates marriage for non-Jews against their will, which obviously is a big fetish. But the point is that it's not a legal formal process. There's no legal formal process like Kiddushin or Erusin. It's just an existential state, meaning a practical matter of fact on the ground. Lamais, they do have this marital relationship through the Bia, so they are married. That might be more similar to Nisuin for Jews, because it could very well be that Kiddushin is a matter of a legal formal process. Nisuin might be just a matter of the existential reality of the relationship, maybe even specifically of the sexual relationship, because Bia seems to create Nisuin. According to the Rambam, the way to create Nisuin is with Yifan Haroi L'Bia or Bia. So therefore, maybe our Nisuin is more similar to the Goyim, but as far as Kiddushin, we have a legal formal process, and they have just an existential reality. What about Gerushin? So the Gemara says, okay, they have no Kiddushin, what about Gerushin? The Gemara seems to have 2 days. Either they have no Gerushin, or they're both Megarish each other. Now, what do those 2 days mean? So the first day, you could say it means they just can never get divorced, you know, like in Ireland. But there are lots being said, probably the Pashtus is that the first day is that they have no formal process of Gerushin. Just if they didn't see us, they're not together, then they're not together. Or the second day is they do have a formal process of Gerushin, but either one of them could do it. Lemaisa, the Rambam, seems to have interpreted not that way, because the Rambam, again, we're looking for a simple shot, you would say, the first day that they can get divorced, just not through a formal process. The second day is that there's a formal process, but either one of them can do it. The Rambam seems to say no, he seems to have understood. The first day that they can mamish never get divorced, they're stuck. And the second day is that either one of them can divorce, but not through a formal process. Just through a bincius, a reality of being separated. That's the Rambam says, that when is a non-Jewish married woman considered to be like a grusha? Whenever he sends her out of his house or she leaves his house, because whenever they want, one of them just separates from the other and they are divorced. So the Rambam says, interprets the second day in the Yerushalmi as they can each do it, but not as a legal formal process at all. Neither day held they had a formal Maisa Gerushin. Just the first day held there was no divorce at all, they're stuck forever, and the second day held you get divorced just practically, but either one of them could do it. So that Lamaisa, the Rambam bottom line, they can either one of them could do it, and it's just a practical matter of leaving, works very well for the pattern of the nature of Bnei Noach's marital law, because marriage is created through the Metzias, through the reality of having a relationship, and if you break the relationship, then you're divorced. There's no legal formal chaluyos at all. There's no chaluyos at all, just a Metzias. It actually, you could ask, why, however, does the Metzias created on the intimate realm, through Bia, but it's broken up on the sort of domestic household realm through leaving the house? So either it could be that there are two elements, right? Even when we say living together in English, right? You can mean that euphemistically, or you can mean living together. Why do you mean the same two things? Because they're related to one another. So it could be, you have to start it with the intimate side of things, with Bia, but then it continues in a matter of just domestic partnership, and to break it up, you could break up the domestic partnership side. Or it could just be that leaving the house is a symbolic way of showing that you've broken up the Bia relationship, because then if you're not living in the same house, then there's no sexual relationship. So that's, you could say either way. You could say either you started on the intimate realm, Bensius, and then ended by breaking up just the domestic household relationship, or you could say no, they're both about the intimate realm, just the way to start is an actual mice of Bia, but there's no mice of un-Bia, so by leaving the house, the closest you can have to a mice of anti-Bia. The one ha'ara he made, last ha'ara is, it sounds very egalitarian in the Yerushalmi, Shneim Gershon Zeh, definitely more egalitarian than Jewish divorce, but he's in the Daik of the Rambam that it's not clear that it's totally egalitarian, because he says the husband sends her out of his house, or she leaves. And then he says, if either one of them separates from the other. So it sounds like the husband could either just move away, far away from his wife, or send her out of his house. Well, the wife only has one way to do it, to move away from her husband. Of course, you could have said that's just because the Hefti Timsa, the husband owned the house. The wife owned the house, maybe she'd kick the husband out. But I think Rambam was being dyke in the Rambam that maybe it's not totally egalitarian. By definition, the house seems more shy for the husband, so they can each just leave. But if it's a matter of kicking someone out of your house, then only the husband has that choice. But that was a side point. Lamaisa, that's a little Bethany Noach. The picture we get from there, Noach, is very clear, is that it's not about a legal, formal, conceptual process, or, you know, chalos, but rather about the existential reality of just the facts on the ground of what the relationship between them is or is not. Now we do very care about any of this. I mean, it wasn't done by Yisrael, none of them in courts for Bnei Noach. So does this make any difference to us as Jews? So the answer is maybe. And that chakira pulled us through the rest of the shir. What is the nature of Jewish divorce? Right, so already you see that in the Shulchan Aruch, that's the name of the Sech itself was Gittin, while the Rambam took Hilchos Gerushin. So is there a difference between Gittin and Gerushin? So it could be there is. It could be there's two ways to conceptualize Jewish divorce now that we have the model of Bnei Noach divorce. It could be that Jewish divorce is exactly the opposite of Bnei Noach divorce. Bnei Noach divorce is not a formal legal process and is purely a matter of just leaving the house, breaking up the house, b'nitzius. While Jewish divorce is a formal legal process, a matir, a kinyan, in a totally different realm from non-Jewish divorce. Or it could be no, that maybe Jewish divorce has some different detail, but it's fundamentally the same thing. It's fundamentally, if you call the non-Jewish divorce shiluchin, just send her away, you know, send them away from each other, maybe that's what Jewish divorce is also. It's just as exeris akasov that you have to do it bichsav and not through something else, right? The husband can't beat his wife up until she leaves the house. He can't yell at her until she leaves the house. He has to give her a letter telling her to leave the house. But also, it's the maybe even Jewish divorce also is not just a pure, legal form of chalos, but it's just a special way of doing the same idea as the Bnei Noach divorce of shiluchin. So that was basically the chakira. Is Jewish gerushin a form of chalos having nothing to do with the practical breaking up the relationship? Or it's shiluach, it's a way of breaking up the household. Just you have to do it, bichsav. So, one of the places we maybe see this coming up is in the Rambam, in Perek Alpha, it was gerushin halacha hei. He has a interesting havamina. The Rambam says, don't think that... Obviously, no one would have thought that the husband just tells his wife to leave the house and that's Jewish divorce. It says, v'chasav v'sefer krisus, right? That is a necessary condition. The question is, that a sufficient condition? So, you might have thought, the Rambam says, v'chasav v'sefer krisus v'nesam b'yadav v'shelchah mi beito, that for Jewish divorce, you need to do two things. Give her a letter, a get, and she has to move out of the house. But she's only divorced if she has the get, and packs up and moves out of the house. That's what you might have thought. The Rambam says, don't think that. Even if she's still standing in the house, once you give her the get, she's divorced. So the Havamina clearly is that Jewish divorce is not that different from the Bnei Noach divorce. That it's not just purely a formal chalos matir. The Jewish divorce is about sending her out of the house, about breaking up the house. Just, you have to bring up the house to Sav. That's the Havamina. The question is, what's the Maskana? Right, because you also have to send her out of the house. So the question is, what's the Maskana, the Rambam? The Havamina is clearly that Jewish divorce is Shiluach to Sav. What's the Maskana? The Maskana might be that was a silly Havamina. You should never have thought so, and it's just a form of Chalos Matzah. Or you could say, no, even the Maskana, it's a matter of breaking up the house and practically breaking up the relationship. Just we assume that even if she might decide to stay in this house, she's not in the household anymore, because once you've given her this letter, that breaks up the household relationship. So even if she's still physically in the house, it's still, you still have effectively sent her out of the house. So that's the chakira in how to understand get. If you go to the beginning of the Sefer Kiddushin,
So, first of all, we point out the language you use. Is it Hilchos Gerushin? What is Gerushin? Ligaresh, to drive someone out. Right? And how do you drive someone out? You drive someone out by giving them a piece of paper, unlike the non-Jews, who could drive someone out just by yelling at her to get out. Or is it Hilchos Gittin? After all, get means a shtar, means a formal legal document. The next issue we discuss is the Rambam Aleph Hey, the Havamina, is that she's not Migureshes until she leaves the house. That's clearly, that is a matter of practically breaking up the house, not a formal matir. Formal matir, what difference does it make what four walls she's in? Question is, in the Maskana, you can take it in two ways. You could say that for psycho, some teachers is just a formal matir of a shtar, or you could say no, or a formal chalos of shtar. The maskana is that it's a matter of shiluach mechsav, but once she gets the chsav, she's out of the household, even if she physically has her feet in the house. In the Gemara, in the beginning of Kiddushin, you could, if you only looked at the Mishnah, have an interesting diuk, because when the Mishnah talks about Kiddushin, it uses the word Kesef Shtar Rabiyah. Isha Nikta to Kesef Shtar Rabiyah. When it comes to Gerushin, the Mishnah says, Konat Akhon Beget Misabal. It doesn't use the word Shtar by Gerushin. So the fact that it doesn't use the word Shtar by Gerushin might indicate that it's not just a regular Shtar. It's this Shiluach Bechtav. On the other hand, once you get to the Gemara in Daf Hei Amud Aleph, you get to the Gemara in Daf Hei Amud Aleph in Kiddushin, the Gemara says, no, maybe we should learn the whole concept of Kiddushin Shtar from Gerushin, right, via the Haisa, which indicates that if Kiddushin is a Shtar, Gerushin is a Shtar. So whether or not Gerushin should be called a Shtar is a little unclear, right? Is Gerushin called a Shtar? Because in the Mishnah, under Beis and Aleph, it's not called a Shtar. They use Shtar for Kiddushin and not for Gerushin. But on the other hand, in the Gemara, it's equated to Shtar Erusin, which is called a Shtar, so it seems to indicate that it is something worthy of the name Shtar. But these are Diyukim.
So at that point, we're making the assumption now that if you view divorce as just Shiluach the Shtar, that means that again, it would be something different from all other Shtaros.
Correct. Right, one of the big nafkaminas would be, which you have a whole year to get into, what's the relationship between get and other shtaros? Is get just an example of other shtaros that happens to be about men and women instead of houses? Or is it, just they're both words on paper, but otherwise nothing in common?
I think that's what we're discussing here.
Yeah, although here we're discussing just in terms of the name shtar, so it's more of like a weak diuk than an actual proof. But, we'll get to the actual dinim. So, right now we got to the actual dinim. What are the relationship between the dinim, relationship of get and shtar, right? Not just what it's called, relationship between get and shtar. So, what about, the first thing we mentioned is edim. Right, the Rambam says, get means edim, it's one of the 10 things get means edim, because it's up to shtayim edim yachim davar, davar davar b'mamon. How could it be that a woman one day will be in Isra'bisa's bed if you live with her, and the other day she'll be legamrei muteres l'shok, and there's no edim to prove it? Right, which is, I guess is his way, or depending on your ask, one of his ways, of understanding the principle, ain't davar shu'er, repulse me,
Pachs Mishnayim, it can't be, it's pasnish, that you'll have a system where, you know, the same thing as Chayiv Misa yesterday and a big mitzvah today, and, you know, and everyone will just clean whatever they want, and there'll be no way to establish an objective standard. It's just too much hefkeiros. So the Rambam gives a sort of practical reason why you need Eidos. So the question is, why didn't he just say, like, Tosfos says on the Bezim and Bez, in that little tiny one, someplace, yeah, like, well, Tosfos implies, in the fourth class, Tosfos in the Bezim and Bez, okay, it's more of a implication. Why not just say, get me to Aiden because it's a shtar? Right? What do you mean, get me to Aiden because it's pasnish, it's a kairos, that chiv misa coming and going, and no one will know what's right and what's wrong because there's no way to prove it? Why not just say, shtar need Aiden? Right? So, why does he get me to Aiden? So the Rambam says, not because it's a shtar. He doesn't say that. He gives a different explanation. So the Rav said, his father asked, why didn't the Rambam just say because it's a shtar? The answer is, yeah, it's not a shtar. It's just words on paper, but it's not really a shtar. He didn't mention this, but there's another perfectly good answer, which I happen to think is correct in the Rambam, although it's a Masor from Chaim, that it's not, which is that the Rambam might hold that a shtar doesn't need Aiden. Rav Chaim says the Derech Pashut, that the Rambam held a shtar needs Aiden. The Rav's father was going in the tradition of his father, that Rav Chaim took the most Derech Pashut in the world, that a shtar needs Aiden, but I think Pashut Shah in the Rambam is that a shtar doesn't need Aiden. But okay, that's just my apikorsis. If you start with the Brisker Rav Chaim's assumption that a shtar needs Aiden, why does the Rambam need a special Hesper for Get? Because it's not a shtar, so therefore you need a different Hesper.
Could you just add on to what you said earlier, that this just, he's just trying to stress the meaning, all stars need Aiden, but this is like a unique type of star,
in other words,
he's saying that he could have said you need Aiden,
but there's a stronger need for Aiden than Dabar Shema Erba, and that has certain Afkaminas, so you could have said that also. Right, okay, so, or, you know, also needs because of shtar. Right, so you could have gotten out of it, but the way the Rav quoted from his father is that it gets not a star. If it gets not a star, then that really leans towards the possibilities. Likewise, the same issue came up in the Rambam in Eidos Gimel Daled. The Rambam said stars only grow up on it. Right? Right, what does the Rambam say? That's next week's topic, Bipiyavlo B'Ksavam. There is no such thing as Eidos B'Ksav. So how can a shtar exist? It's Eidos B'Ksav. The answer is the Kondra Rabbanan shtar exists for various Tikkunolam reasons. The shtar exists. So what do you mean shtar is only Rabbanan? Get is Doraisa. Right, in all of Dini Mamnas, you feel free to say shtar is Rabbanan if you want. Right, there's no source in the Torah. But you know, maybe in the Navi, but not in the Torah. But how can you get it? Obviously, Doraisa. So how can you get me Doraisa if Shtar is Rabbanan? So the answer is, Shtar is me Rabbanan, but a get is me Doraisa. So why? Because a get's not a Shtar, a get's something else. If a get's not a Shtar, then a get is Doraisa, but a Shtar is Rabbanan. Theoretically, of course, you could get out of this, which Luchting didn't mention, but I assume you will at some point, by saying that the Rambam only meant that Shtar Rai is the Rabbanim, but Shtar Kinyan is the Oraisa, which, you know, you can find the things written up in the Shefter and the Rosh Yerim. You can say Shtar Raya is the Rabbanim, but Shtar Kinyan is the Oraisa. I'm not claiming that's so Pashut, because Pashut Pshat in the Rambam sounds like a get might be the Oraisa even as a Shtar Raya, but you could do that. The next thing we discussed was, what about the Lashon? The relationship between Shtar and Get, what about the language of Shtar and Get? So this is something very fascinating.
The pasuk of the Mishnah Daf Hamad Beis, which talks about the lashon of a get, is that the get is written in first person, right? Or first second person. It's written in the language of the from the perspective of the husband, first person, right? I am Dan Yahavi Lichi Minoi. Right, Sefer Teruchim, the Ger Shavukim, the Get Peturim, etc., etc. I mean, Minai. Right, Harei Atmu Teres Chal Adam. It's from the husband talking to the wife. It's in the Lashon of the husband talking. As opposed to all Shtaros, if you read any Shtaros, who's talking in a Shtar? Not talking, but from whose perspective is the Shtar written? The perspective of the Eidim. An and Sadi Eich Shev, Vechuli, did this and that too, X, Y, and Z, etc., etc. Even if you read Ksuba, right? The Ksuba is not written from the perspective of the chassid. Certainly not Rashash's Ksuba, but even the regular Ksuba. It doesn't say, you know, Hareini, etc., etc. It says, Eich Sheha Chassan, Ploni, and Ploni, Armelad, and Sult, etc., have you lead into Kedas Moshe Yisrael. So it's Eich Sheha Chassan. Let us, the Eidim, tell you the story of how the Chassan did X, Y, and Z. But it's not the Chassan talking, it's the Eidim talking. But in the Get, it's the husband talking. It's in first person, not third person.
Regular
Shtar Kinyan. So hard to prove since we don't use Shtar Kinyan nowadays. What? So Lemaisa, that is meaning one could be a Chalakin Shtar Kinyan and Shtar Rai, and then you have to figure out what a Ksuba is. It gets a little tricky, but Lemaisa, what about, you know, who's talking in the Shtar? Who's talking in the get, it seems to be that in the get, the husband is talking, and in a shtar, the eidim are talking, which would make perfect sense if a get was not a form of chalos like a shtar, but she's lost with sab. This is the way the husband breaks up the relationship with the wife. What do eidim have to do with it? You might need eidim for a side reason. You'd have a keiros of chiyuv and yisus bed, then came and went. Would have any way to have an objective, neutral standard of proof. Right, but the Rambam, you know, might sort of come together. Here's such the Rambam. That this is just a matter of personal communication and the break of a personal relationship with the husband and wife, which happens to need agent for a side reason, as opposed to a regular shtar, which is just more of a formal kolosham agus. The other issue is what the role of Amira in... This is a matter of, we're really comparing get and kinyanim. What's the role of Amira in, and here it's probably get and vikidushin. For kinyanim, we normally assume there's no rule of Amira. You don't have to say anything to make a kinyan happen. Obviously, it has to be clear that the two people have das, right? The circumstances have to prove that the people intended for this kinyan to happen. So sometimes, usually when you do a kinyan, you have to say what you mean, otherwise we don't know what you mean. But the maisa, if you do a maisa kinyan, you don't need any special kind of speech. As long as it's very, very clear what you mean and what he means, then that's a valid maisa kinyan. There's no formal lashon that you have to say. I think that's pretty clear. The question is, what about getting the kiddushin? So... do you say no special requirement of Amira, and then it is like Kinyanim? Or do you say there's a special din of Amira, unlike Kinyanim, which makes a lot of sense if we're talking about a personal relationship. You know, the even sees the relationship between them. If you're talking about she looking with Saab breaking the relationship between them, he might have to say something to her. If you're talking about a kinyan, then you just need a maisa kinyan. Doesn't necessarily need to say anything. So that is all over the Gemara talks about Harei Kadeshously and mentions various Lashonos, but it's unclear if that's just how we know what they're thinking, or there's actually a din of Amira. Where's the only place you see a din of Amira? There are two places where you see a din of Amira. One is in Kedusha Daf Hei Amud Beis. Nasan hu ve'amrahi. Right? Now, that's a big mess. There's many different ways that we've shown them to interpret this Gemara. I think we learned this in YU a couple of years ago. Kedushin.
But the Gemara says nasan hu yomer he. It's not exactly clear either. It's
he gave her the ring, but she said the amira. Either it's but not a good kiddushin, or it's ekspeken hashinu midrabanan, whatever exactly that means. It's a suffic kiddushin, or it's not a kiddushin.
So there's some chisaron in if she does the amira in kiddushin,
which seems to imply that the amira has some importance. It's not just a way of knowing what they think, especially if you take the Baha'i. Tosfos asks,
the Gemara talking about nasa hu v'yomer hu. That's what normal people do. That's regular kiddushin. The Gemara mentioned nasna hi v'yomer hi. She gives him the ring and says the kiddushin. That's obviously possible. The Gemara discussed nasa hu v'yomer hi, which was controversial. How come they never discussed nasna hi v'yomer hu? So Tosfos gives a technical answer. You can be a dyke, not so clear. That depends on whether he's an Adam Chasher or not. But the Baha'i, all the Rishonim quote the Baha'i, says, because it's obvious. Nasna hi v'yomer hu is exactly the same as nasna hu v'yomer hi. It's the same suffix. This Baha'i is very radical, because it's not just from the Gemara, it's not so radical. Nasna hu v'yomer hi is a halachic issue. Maybe that's just because she shouldn't be getting involved. But if we say nasna hu v'yomer hi is the exact same issue as nasna hi v'yomer hu, we're saying there are two equal halves to Kedushin, Sina and Amira, and if she does one, he does the other. It's the same din, the same suffix, no matter who does which. It's not like the Messina is what's important and the Amira is some side issue. No, they're equally important. Who would have a Havmi that if she gives him a ring, if he does the Amira, that's even a suffix? The answer is the Amira is just as important as the Messina in Kedushin. So even the Pashup Shad in the Gemara is giving importance to the Amira here. Certainly in the Bahag is for sure giving importance to the Amira here. Because he's saying that even if she gives him the ring, if he does the Amira, Hariyat Mekadeshously, that's the same suffix as if he gives the ring and she does the Amira. So, according to the Baha'i, the Pashup Shad of the Gemara, what are the rites and special of Amira, Gemara, Kiddushin, Dafei, and Beis, which implied that her Amira might possibly the Kiddushin. And for sure, for the Baha'i, who says not only can her Amira ruin the Kiddushin, but his Amira could make a non-kiddushin into a kiddushin. Even if she gives the ring, if he does the amira, that could help. We suffer, maybe that helps. So obviously it shows the amira is an integral element of the kiddushin and not just a side point. Why is the amira an integral element of kiddushin? It's not integral to any other kinyanim. No one ever had a havmi to other kinyanim that depends who talks, right? You ever had a havmi if I sell you my field that depends whether I say I'm selling or you say you're buying? As long as we both agree, who cares? Or what if a third party says and we both agree? Never had a half mirror. Why do we have a half minute care all of a sudden? Because a mirror is an important element of Kedushin. And likewise, in one of it later, the Bab Gunal, the famous Hakot of Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda about Hayim Adabri Mal Iske Gita Vikdusha, they were discussing the Kedushin and then he gave her a ring and didn't say anything. Does that work or not? That's a Machlokas Tanoim. So, who says what? That's Asugin Boso Inyan. Right? They were talking about doing the Kiddushin, and then he gave her a ring. So, Rav Yossi says that's good enough. So, Rav Yehuda, who says Asugin Boso Inyan doesn't help, doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? You could say otherwise. Pashup Shad is, they were talking about Kiddushin. And then he gave her a ring. He just didn't say it right kedushly, but it's obvious it was kedushin. What's the chisaron? The answer is the chisaron is he didn't have a amira for it kedushly. It doesn't matter if it's obvious what the ring is for. He needs the amira to personally express this relationship. And even Rav Yossi, who says it does work, you can interpret either way. It could be he thinks it works because there is no requirement of amira, and once we know what they're both thinking, that's good enough. Or maybe he also thinks it's requiring the Amira. He just holds the Amira from 2 minutes ago of the Inyan getting the Kiddushin is good enough. Now, Lemaisa, the tricky part of this is... Yeah?
The special din of Amira, the Amikianim, we're matching that up with the Shulah and Mitzah.
Yeah.
That's the same.
Yeah. Now, just to be fair, on a practical level, it's not really true. Because the Rambam says you need Amira in Kedusha Kesem and Biyah and doesn't say anything about saying Harit Mekadeshli in Kedusha Shtar. And in Gittin, the Rambam says if you gave her the get and didn't say Harit Mekadeshus or such Lashon, it's only sold to Rabbanon. So Midoraisa, you don't need Amira in Gittin and Kedusha Shtar. But that's probably just because Siva includes Amira and al pilumdus, you do need amira, just that ksiva is b'chlal amira, so if you wrote it to her, that counts as the amira. So the lumdus is still valid, just practically, midoraisa, you don't actually need amira in either kedusha, shtar, or gerushin, because when you write something, that's also a way of saying it. And therefore, it's not so much of an afamina. The last thing we mentioned, oh, there's something else, is, okay, before we get to this, I'm going to go a little out of order, to the issue of Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Right, there's 3 days as to why you can't divorce your wife if she is insane, if she's a shota. One day, which is not important for us now, is Rav Yitzchak, who says, only Rabbanim you can't divorce your wife so that people won't take advantage of her if you know it's going to be right? And as once there's no, you know, Isserishus ish, then people take advantage of her. Okay, but let's assume it's Midoraisa. So there's 2 days. Rav Yanai says, it's a Midoraisa, you can't divorce your wife if she goes insane, because it says Nasan B'yadah, she doesn't have a yad. She doesn't have legal kinyan capacity. While Rav Yochanan, no, Tana Dvi Rishmal says, why can't you divorce your wife Shota? Because she's, you need to have Meshalcha of Ein Chazeres. You need to really be able to break up the household and send her away. And if she's a Shota, then she doesn't understand anything, and even if you give her the get, she'll come back. Meaning, if practically you haven't broken up the relationship, you think you've broken up the relationship, and if she was a normal person, she would understand the relationship's over. But since she's crazy, she doesn't understand anything, and she'll still can act as your wife. And therefore, it's not a valid gerushin. So if you talk about why is there no gerushin for a shota, right? Shotet, the man's a shota, it's obvious why there's no gerushin, because it needs his das, and it doesn't have das. But if the woman's a shota, we don't need her das anyway, so why is there no gerushin? So, these 2 different days work for 2 different sides. Rav Yanai says, no legal yad for kinyanim. Says, look, she can't do kinyanim, she's a shota, she doesn't have the yad. Yad is about kinyan power. He looks at it from the perspective of kinyanim. Well, Tana Devei Rav Yishmael says, it's not an effective shiluach. He looks at it from a shiluach perspective. He says, look, who cares about the legal kinyanim? Meaning, Rav Yanai says, who cares whether you've practically been mishaleach? Who cares whether you've broken up the relationship? That doesn't bother me, as long as you can have a formal kinyan, but you can't have a formal kinyan. Tana Rav Yishmael says, who cares if you can have a formal kinyan? That wouldn't bother me, but you have to break up the relationship, and you can't break up the relationship because she'll think you're still married, and she won't understand that the relationship's over. This Tana Rav Yishmael is also picked up by the Machlokas Rambam and Tosfos. Here, the Rambam doesn't necessarily work out the Shitasi, but that doesn't necessarily prove anything, about why you have to give it her a Torah's Gerushin. What does that mean? If you say, here is, here's a stock certificate, here's a love letter, whatever, take this piece of paper, and she takes it and it's really a get, that is not a valid Gerushin. Mida Oraisa. Because you didn't give B'torah's Gerushin. Why? So the Rambam says there's an independent din of giving B'torah's Gerushin. But Tosfos says in the fine Chesed Aleph, at the end of Tosfos says, because Meshalcha B'chozeres, because if you give it her and don't tell her what's in it, then she might not read it, and she might not know she's divorced, so she would continue living with you. So basically, you haven't broken up the relationship. So, and even if she happens to read it later, that's coincidence. It wasn't Gerushin at the time. You can't make it into Gerushin later. So, this actually, in terms of, do we really accept this idea of Meshalcha B'chozeres, the soul of Meshalcha B'chozeres, that if you haven't kicked her out of your house, she's going to come back. It is of soul. When it comes to Nisina Shiloh, what's the soul of Nisina Shiloh B'torah's Gerushin, of telling her here's a stock certificate, so Tosla says, the psol is Meshalcha B'chozeres, he assumes we pass like Tana Dvei Rishmael. Yeah, the psol, whenever you give her a get in a way which does not break up the relationship, it's psol. While the Rambam says it's a separate psol. Which doesn't necessarily mean that he doesn't pass by throughout the time of the year as well. It just means he at least doesn't apply it there.
The last thing we said, which we actually said before this, was that maybe we've been made in the Hakir of what's the nature of Gerushin, which again will have many opinions, especially in tribulation with Gerush Far, which you already said we have to get into a Dabi Zayim and Aleph. Maybe they're saving him in Gerushin. Right, that would be a very radical suggestion after the fact that it was able forced by Ron Blitton. Maybe there's two types of Gerushin. Who says that the two possibilities are we have a Gerushin which is basically the same as the Noach Shiloh idea, just a Snaiv Asad, or we have a totally different formal Chalos. Maybe we have two types of Gerushin. What are the two types of Gerushin? So, again, we would never have said this on our own, but it's before Shutma Ram Lublin, which it's not in the Bar Ilan. I don't even know if we have a Shutma Ram Lublin in the Beis Medrash, but the Lichting was reading it where it was quoted and endorsed and brought many rayas in his own unique Dark of HaKodesh by Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo on the side of the Sefer Mitzvah of Sadigon. I think it was in the first Selek of the Sefer Mitzvah of Sadigon on page 565, I think it was, or 566, maybe both of them. He quoted this tremendous pitch. There's a din, that's what the whole last parak is about. Oh, Megarish Ishto V'yamar L'Harveit, which is called Odom Elo L'Plomi. Right, if I say, right, yeah, this actually probably, I can see this happening, you know. You're looking at anyone except that guy, who I never liked the way you looked at him anyway. Right, all right, which is Odom, except for Plomi. So, Rabbi Eliezer holds that's a valid get, and she can marry anyone except for Plomi. But we say the Chachamim that no, Krisus being a Velek, a get has to totally end everything. And if it doesn't totally end everything, because she's still married, she's divorced from him, Legabe, everyone else. But she's still married to him, Legabe, Plomi. She's still Ashes Ish for Plomi. She does not Ashes for everyone else in the world. Besides that, it's a weird thing.
Can you still call him with you? Because you can return.
Hareyat Muteris Lechol Adam. Lechol Adam. Well, she was already looking. What?
I'm like.
Ah, so that's an interesting question. You're not really Muteris Lechol Adam, but the point is that you're Muteris from the bounds of Ishus Lechol Adam. Meaning, the Isser of Ishus Ish is Mutter Lechol Adam. In a Hanami, you might be Asura to everyone in the world. Maybe you're a son of Monseris and an Amonis and a Moab, you know, who knows? I'm not supposed to, okay? Mitzvah said, don't miss it. Who knows what you could be? But the point is, Alts Motinah, now as far as the Ten Commandments are concerned, you were terrorists of Kol Adam. I assume that's all it means. As far as the marital, the laws of marriage, you were terrorists of Kol Adam. So, we paskin that you can't make any exceptions to a get, because then it's not Krisa, it's not a total break the relationship. The Maharam Lin had this tremendous Kiddush. That he said, based on a whole case that happened, that there's two types of Gerushin. Again, this tremendous Kiddush of Rufus Shapala tries to bring Raya's that Rasadi going to hold that way, and they both, he quotes Maharam Lin, is explaining how it comes from Sukkim, yeah, I'm Chum. He said there are two types of Gerushin. One is the type of Gerushin mentioned in the Pasuk, V'hayayim losin sachin be'inav, himatav ha'ras davar, etc. Gerushin because of imatziyas chin be'inav, or to summarize, Gerushin misinam. He doesn't like her, so he's megarish her. That's the usual kind. The other kind of Gerushin is that in lomatzachin be'inav. There's another kind of Gerushin. Sometimes she is motzachin be'inav, but he's megarish her anyway. Why would he do that? But this is what he calls Gerushin me'ava. This is a little code word for it. Says maybe he likes her just fine, but for technical reasons, and in that reasons having to do with the fact that he wants to be nice. To be nice, for technical reasons, they have to be megarish her. Why? For the two classic examples are, he's a shkid mira, and he thinks he's going to die and she'll be stuck with the yavam, and it'll be uncomfortable, it'll be complicated, so he writes her a get, because he likes her very much. And as a matter of fact, if he gets better, he wants to stay married to her. But just to not have to bother with the Yivam and he writes her a get. Or the other case is, a case of Igun, the husband's the Medina Sayam, you know, the husband is stuck in... nowadays you're not really stuck anyway, but at one point the husband was stuck in Australia and was never going to make it home, and if he did it would be 20 years. So he's like, I like her very much, and it would be nice if I came home in 20 years from Australia and she was still there, but the wife is not nice and mean to make her be an aguna all 20 years, so I'll send her a get. That's Gershom Me'ava.
So the chiddush is that, Tak, if you read Pasuk Pshat on the Pasuk, you would think you can't do that gerushin me'apa. You would think that gerushin is not valid unless you dislike her. Pasuk Pshat on the Pasuk. If she is nimtzachim ve'imah, the gerushin should be possible. But they're medayik from a totally different Pasuk that you can, that you can't even do gerushin me'apa. They're medayik, but there's a different Pasuk than Mekadosh gerushin me'apa. Once there's a different pasuk, it means there are two different psukim of gerushin. There are two paragraphs of gerushin in the Torah. One of gerushin imatzias chayin ve'inav, and one of gerushin she is motzias chayin ve'inav. So now that there are two different parshas of gerushin in the Torah, they suggest that it's the two different types of gerushin have different halachos. Only the gerushin misina, the nusin l'sefer krisos needs krisos. The gerushin misina is only valid if there's krisos. If the gerushin is only valid if there's a chrisa, if it's a total separation, there's a gerushin may not have a malady without a chrisa. If someone who's wedded, yes, if you're mutter, plony, or maybe you're not even mutter chaladim, but it's still a gerushin, or whatever you want to say, you're mutter half the other, then if he disliked her, that would not be valid yet, because again, misina has to have a chrisa. But if he was just trying to pater from chalitza or egon or solve her problems, then it would be a valid get. That's a tremendous chiddush of the Maharal of Lin, and therefore he was actually machshir a get that the Geshkimi Ra gave to avoid chalitza, even though it had a shir, shin yod vav resh, it had an exception, it was not a total get. That's a big kula. You have to be the Maharal of Lin to give that kula.
It's probably a question I
really have,
but
you're begging
both the
shrimp
to take the double lashon.
No. He, I didn't tell you which pasuk he gets me'apa from. He gets it from a totally different pasuk in Parshas Emor. The reason I didn't tell you is because it's very speculative.
Father, what does he mean that the lashon will be the shema twice? The shema gets it twice.
I don't remember. I think that what they were saying is that the whole parshin kiseitze is only about gerushin misinim, most claim being of. The or Usneya Ha'ishachra, right? Either the first guy won't say, and the second guy, Usneya Ha'ishachra, that's pretty clear. The Mukher for Gerushin Me'av is a very roundabout Diyuk Mukher, is it says in Parsha Emor, Ve'isha Grusha Me'isha Lo Yikachu, a woman who is divorced from her husband is puzzled to a Kohen. That means if she's divorced from her husband, even if she's not Muteras Kaladam, she's still with the Asura to a Kohen, which proves that there is a divorce without being Muteras Kaladam. So that must be Gerushin Me'apa. Now, if you'll accuse me of just having piled lots of speculation on top of speculation, then I'll just refer to Rabbi Yerucha Professor Perla and work it out with him. But I recall that was his mucker for Gerushin Me'apa. The Isha Grusha Me'isha Lo Yitacho, that there's nothing with Sinar, which is King Be'enov or Krisos, there's a separate thing called Grusha Me'isha.
The Gemara later on, I mean, Mishnah about Bishnah of Bishamah by Masa Erevastavar. So basically, it says even if Yom HaKashi makes the food or whatever, you can divorce her. So then, you're saying that's also considered sinna?
Yeah, I mean, all those 3 days, even Rabbi Akiva, are all sinna. They're arguing, what does sinna mean? Right, again, it's actually an interesting point. In our modern Hebrew, or at least our modern English perspective on Hebrew, sinna sounds very, very strong, and obviously some places in Tanakh also, Alom Sarech Hashem Esna, but sometimes, Lashon Chazal, sinna just means dislike. So it doesn't always mean hate. Anyway, they're arguing about sinna. Beishamai says, sinna is only if you have a halachic problem, if she's evil. Beis Hillel says, sinna is if just you don't like the way she's performing her wifely role. And Rabbi Akiva says, sinna just means you don't like her as much as you like someone else. But that's all Gerushin Misina. Gerushin Me'ava, they're in the Machlokes Tanoim, they all agree that you can divorce her, even if you don't have any of those 3 things. Baharaya, Ma'isim Ha'yam, Shechim Ra gives a get, even if he didn't fulfill either any of those opinions. So that's true, they're only arguing about Misina, but Me'ava, they all agree. Yeah, that doesn't prove there's two Dinim Midoraisim, two Parshas in the Torah, but it fits in well. Okay, so what Rav Lichtenstein was trying to say then is that maybe there's two dinim. What are the two dinim? One din is gerushin misina. Gerushin misina is a breakup of the relationship. And therefore, why does it need krisos? Because to break up the relationship, you need to break up the relationship. You can't say, look, when it comes to chalos, I'll make it this way, not that way, I'll make it halfway, I'll make it all tonight. You know, you can fool around with chaluyos. But a relationship, either you have something to do with each other or you don't.
And shiluach b'tzav means you have nothing to do with each other. It doesn't mean I'm still married to you as far as Reuven is concerned, I'm just not married to you as far as Shimon is concerned. No, that's not bringing up the relationship. The relationship means we have nothing to do with each other. So that needs Krisus. You need Krisus in Gershom Sin. Gershom Sin is a great relationship. It doesn't mean you're not supposed to come here for Gershom though, when he says, you know what? You said, well, you're not supposed to do this. But I'll make the job with the Torah and give you another. You know what? You just make a formal chalos on her. Ah, you want to take care of Yibam and Chalitza, and you're just trying to be a nice guy, so you know what the Torah says? Forget to bring up the relationship. Then we'll give you another trap. Just make a formal chalos to accomplish what you need to accomplish so that everyone can live happily ever after. And then you don't need krisos. Because you can make chalos however you want, right? Everyone knows, if I want to sell you my cow, I can sell you my cow. I can sell you my cow after 30 days. I can sell you my cow, the inyan, tefel. I can sell you my cow, the inyan dalbeh. I can sell you my cow, chuk mi malachta. I can sell you my cow except for her liver and, you know, and the right half of her kidney, of her left kidney. I can sell it to whatever I want. So, this, no requirement, there's no requirement of absoluteness. Because what do you mean? I can make whatever chalos I want, just like every other kinyan and chalos in the Torah. So it could be, again, this would be a big fish, but gedolim have said it, that there's really two types of gerushin for Jews, one more like Noach and one not. The last thing we mentioned is, we just ended with explaining a Yerushalmi. Again, I think this is working more in the formal chalos side. The Yerushalmi had a strange lashon. It was a very strange lashon. When I read the Yerushalmi, it struck me. I just said, this is such a strange lashon, I'm not sure what to do with it, so I'm not going to waste my time thinking about it because I'm not smart enough to ever figure it out. But the Yerushalmi had this very funny lashon. It says, how do you know that Jews have gerushin and goyim don't? By which we mean, especially according to this side, Jews have a formal legal chalos of gerushin, and goyim just have a mitzvah of gerushin. Kisani shalach v'lada es Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Something on Hashem being the God of Israel. What does this mean? The Yisrael Masati Gerushin, the Umos Lo Masati Gerushin, the Seder, but then Rechani Mavim says, Lamech lo yichad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmo b'Gerushin El Yisrael Bovad. The Gerushin has a special yichud Shem Hashem, has a special presence of the Shem Hashem in Jewish Gerushin, not in Goyish Gerushin. What does this mean? What's the Shem Hashem? Is this something Kabbalistic? What's going on here? So Luchzi said, no. If you take the Tzad, maybe not what we want to take in the Rambam. I think this works better. If you say, no, it's a formal legal halos, then the Goyim are just, saying Noah is just a matter of facts on the ground, existential reality, their relationship. There isn't a relationship. They're together or they're apart. Then what does that do with the Yichud Shem Hashem? So he said, of course, one of the main differences between Judaism and other religions and systems, right, which the people have been, the opponents of the Jews have been saying that as the great, they've been saying this is what's wrong with Judaism, at least 2,000 years, probably further, but I don't know if we have books that go back that far. But you know, you go back to the New Testament through any book published yesterday, and they say, why, what's wrong with Judaism? All they have is laws and rules and laws and rules, and they're just a bunch of lawyers. Why don't they just talk more about feelings and spirituality and virtues and being nice and being... Why does everything have rules and laws? That's why no one likes all the competing systems criticize Judaism. So, taka, they're right. But what's pshat? So that's Yichud Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the nature of the difference between Judaism and Bnei Noach? Even with, I mean, Bnei Noach is also part of Judaism. What's the difference between Am Yisrael and Bnei Noach? The difference is not whether you're supposed to be a nice person. Everybody's supposed to be a good person. Everyone's supposed to be a good person. That's the Devar Pashat. The difference is that Jews have to have the Jewish Torah, the way Hashem set up life for us, is that we live with not just being nice, but with a constant awareness of Hashem's presence and a constant awareness of our obligation as commanded beings, klapei Hashem. That's the reason why not Bnei Noach have 7 minutes, we have 6 13 minutes, so it's not only a quantitative difference. Right? Not just we have more than them. It's totally bugging. 7 minutes means to just be an okay person, not go off the derech too much. 630 minutes, the point is, think of Rotzach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zach Stroll, think of Herb and Torah Mitzvos, that there should always be a tzivoy, that we can have a constant relationship with Hashem as mitzuveh to mitzaveh. And what's the way we keep that constant awareness of the mitzuveh Hashem, of not just being like, oh, we try to be as nice as we can in and of ourselves, but of having this constant relationship being under the, being subjects, really, of Hashem. It's by taking all the things, even the neutral parts of life, even the generally human parts of life, and saying, for us, it's not just about existential reality, it's not just about seeing us back on the ground, it's a matter of a halachic, legal, formal chalos, because when something is a formal mishpati, choku mishpat, v'sham nisabu, when something becomes a mishpat, that means it has rules and laws, and that means we look at it as not just part of life, but a part of tzivoy Hashem. Because it's only a tzivoy if you have rules and laws. Right? It's just an idea that I try to be good. Where's the tzivoy there? Then I decide what to do and what not to do. It's only a tziva in awareness of Hashem as mitzaveh if there are halachos telling me what to do. If there are mishpatim, not just nice ideas. Nice ideas might be very holy. Maybe I can do a halacha b'dracha. But I can't respond to a tziva unless the concrete mishpat, choku mishpat. So maybe that point, lo yichad of Shem Shmo begir she'el b'Yisrael b'lvad, everyone has the idea, of course you shouldn't commit adultery, of course you should have family life, of course you need gerushin and nisuin. But that's just a practical reality of life. Why do you need rules about it? And if not, but you know, don't need rules about it. But we do, because to have a constant awareness of Hashem's mitzvah, that means there's constantly a tzibur which tells us exactly what to do and what not to do, not just that we figure it on our own and try to be nice people. That there's something that we respond to from above, not just an inspiration, but an actual message, communication, tzibur from above, and to do that, even the non-religious parts of life, like gerushin, which is just part of the background of life, not something which is invented by religious people, has to become part of the Siva Hashem by having a Choku Mishpat. And maybe that, at least if you take one side of the Sakira, essentializes the differences between Am Yisrael and Bnei Noach. Okay, we will, the Makoros hopefully everyone found in the box this morning for next week. I printed out, for those who might find it useful, it's not at all in the same order as we're looking at going this year, but one of the Choshev Ram in Gush wrote up lifting sheer suffering from everything said in the Sefer Gittin. So this is basically a summary of everything we're lifting said in the Sefer Gittin. Much more summary than the Shiurim, but it has all the ideas in slightly different order. There's a table of contents, you should be able to find it, so everyone please feel free to take one. If you Dafka want a Word file instead of a hard copy, just email me and I will email it back. And if anyone else who's interested in following what Lipson has to say, I'll leave it in the Lipson box.